So welcome to another episode of Millennials in Ministry. I'm your host, Erin V. Lashley, and today I have the privilege and honor of interviewing Vanessa McNeil, who is a female documentary director, filmmaker. She has a lot of great accomplishments, which we will talk about later on in the interview. But Vanessa, first of all, thank you for being with us. So glad to have you on the show.
Likewise.
Yeah, I'm excited. For sure. So first off, tell us a little bit about you and how you got into making films.
Ooh, that's a good question. So I probably started this filmmaking journey a couple of years ago. I was a senior in college and I got to this place. I'm a survivor of sexual violence and trauma and child abuse, lots of things. And I just got to that point senior year in college where I was ready to share my story. So I reached out to two filmmakers that I knew and I was like, I'm just ready. I obviously want to do it for healing purposes, but I know that I have a bigger calling and a bigger purpose to share my story too. So I did that. It really, there's like a domino effect and just doing more films about sexual violence and sharing stories about men and sex trafficking. So yeah.
That's awesome. So what's been your favorite documentary to make thus far? I know you have one, Gridshock, coming out, but out of the other two, which one was your favorite?
I really have to say Gridshock. It is the biggest production I've done, the biggest scope of work. We interviewed 27 people. It's like huge in size compared to what I've done before. And the impact has just been so big. So I'm most proud and excited for this one.
That'll and come for out those in April. April, I know it was this year, which I'm excited to check it out and watch it. For those who may not know just a little bit about the storyline, the premise of the documentary, tell us a little bit about it.
Yes. So Gridshock is a documentary about sex trafficking in Iowa. And sex trafficking happens at every state, every city in the U.S. And it's basically a form of modern day slavery where people are being bought and sold against the will for sex. And people are living in and existing in our communities, and we have no idea that they're being trafficked. And I was just I can't think of any crime worse than this. And aside from like the nature and severity of it, I was just surprised that people didn't know about it. So when I found out about it, I was like, I really need to share this story.
That's really cool. And you know what? I was watching, I think it was a feed video of yours or an IGTV episode where you were talking about how after you guys filmed all of this, you had to take a break away from work just to get yourself emotionally, mentally.
Yes, absolutely. I took 6 weeks off when I was done. And a lot of it was just like spending time at home and just kind of, I will never be who I was before I started this project. Like it completely changed the way that I saw life. My reality has shifted, the way I view relationships or interactions. Like I'm questioning things that I never questioned before. And just to know, like for trafficking, for instance, there has to be a buyer. Like it's a supply and demand industry. So to know that the buyers are 30 to 50 year old, statistically, the average buyer profile is a 30 to 50 year old married white man. Tells me that there's probably people in my network or my circle that I know that are doing these things. So it makes you think, and you'll never, and I will never go back to where I was before.
That's so wild to think. I cannot wait to watch it.
Thank you.
I'm really interested in learning more about things that I don't understand or that I haven't experienced so that I have better empathy for people that have gone through it, but also just greater awareness in my day-to-day life and greater ways that I can help protect the people that I love and maybe didn't realize that maybe they were actually in danger. And I could have, if I would have just asked a question or really looked at a certain situation, you know.
That's real.
But I want to ask you, what do you wish people knew about victims of sexual violence that they don't really realize? Or what's one way that we can be of help if we want to step in and encourage people or just be of assistance in this process for other people that have experienced that?
I think that people have to know that like sexual violence, no matter the severity, no matter the type, it is a guilt and shame inducing experience. Like it changes who you are, like changes almost everything about you. So when people come out and share their stories, there's so many people like, questioning and blaming and shaming them. And it just adds to this culture of secrecy and blame. And I think that the most helpful thing that people can do when someone comes forward is say that I believe you. And like, it is not your job to be an investigator. Like, that's the most, like, that's a great thing. Like, we don't have that burden to be investigators. So we shouldn't be asking like guilt or shame inducing questions, or like, we just have to be there for people and be like, what do you need from me? Like, that's all we need to do in the in the beginning.
That's really good. Specifically about your story, Vanessa, you know, only, of course, only share what you feel comfortable, but what is your story of sort of being a survivor of sexual violence, but also too, like, and then what happened that, how did you gain the courage to share your story? How did that freedom come to you where you had the courage to help somebody else and speak out about it?
Yeah. So, when I was 3 or 4, I was sexually abused by people in my family. My sister molested me. A lot of cousins molested me. And then when I was 15, I was sexually assaulted in a college prep program. So a boy in my program, we were on like a summer trip, and he was able to get access to my hotel key card when I wasn't paying attention. And he came later in like the early hours of the morning or evening, whatever, and assaulted me. And I was like 16, 15, 16, going through a lawsuit with the college, because they were negligent and not like, we were minors. Like, you should have been watching, you should have had people to make sure that they weren't coming out of their rooms. So I think that it's been a super long process for me. It's taken so many years to have the voice that I have, and it's not like it's never ending. I think that healing isn't linear. And there are times where I struggle and I feel like I haven't done any work. Whereas there are other days when I'm like, I feel like I've conquered this. Like, healing isn't linear, no matter like what the experience, the trauma is. And that's, I think I'm always finding my freedom. And I think that when I'm 8 years old and my hair is gray, like, I'm still going to be talking about this work, and I'm still going to be finding my voice and my freedom, because several people took things from me that I didn't give permission to give away. And so every day I'm fighting to take that back for myself.
That's just so powerful, Vanessa. And I applaud you for what you've gone through, but also the stance you've taken to be a voice of encouragement for people that have gone through stuff like that. And also an activist, making people aware, so that things like this don't continue to happen. But I also know that you were recently married. And I love seeing the pictures of you and your husband. You guys are so cute. So cute.
He's my favorite.
I want to know, like, how did you guys meet? I know you just got married recently, and just the beauty of this marriage in light of everything you've been through. Tell us about that.
So I met Sam when we were in college, when he had just got his master's degree and I was still working on mine. And then he moved to a different city. And so we tried the relationship thing in the beginning, and it was a joke because we were both a hot mess and like, we just weren't ready. We weren't like fully sprouted, but we kept in contact and we became best friends over the course of the next year. So when it was like around the time when I was graduating with my master's, he really came into my life and I was ready then. And so, yeah, the rest was history. Cool. Yeah,
that's awesome. Very cool. Yeah. When you spoke at TED Talk, tell us about that experience. How did that opportunity come about, and how was that for you?
So I spoke in 2 TED Talks. I spoke in one where I talked about sex trafficking, and then I spoke in another one where I shared a more like personal story surviving sexual violence, but talking about like the power of storytelling. And both of those experiences were so cool. They were like within 1 month of each other. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Yeah. But it was amazing. And to be able to share that story, those stories on such a big platform, was really awesome.
And for TED Talks, I don't know how they work, but did they discover your film somewhere? Did you like apply or something?
Well, for one, so there's like a way, if you go to like the TEDx website, you can kind of see like where people are starting them.
Okay.
And for some of them, you can reach out and say, hey, put me on your list to think about in the next 2 years. Awesome. So I did that for one, and then the other one, they just reached out to me and they were like, hey, we've gotten your name, so do you want to do this? And yeah. I was like, yeah.
Like, heck yeah, I want
right?
to do it.
Yeah,
that's really, really cool. I also want to ask you about a recent episode you did on Instagram about anxiety, because you said a lot of your audience was asking you questions about that. What are some things, you know, maybe even give a little recap of that video.
Sure.
I know a lot, maybe a few people haven't watched it yet. I do recommend you go and watch. You have really great content, by the way.
Thank you.
Really great content.
I'm working on
it. Yeah, it's really good. So share a little bit about just anxiety and tips you would give for people going through that.
So as a recap, I was saying that like anxiety, I think most people stress about like the future. So it's worrying about a future now moment. Like there is now, there is only right now. Like we can't go back and we can't go forward. So all there is now. So to even like tell yourself it's a future now moment is kind of trippy, but also I always tell myself, no matter how I feel, remember what I know. So if I have anxiety about a speaking engagement or meeting someone, I'm like, no matter how I'm feeling, no matter like what is happening here, I know that I'm confident. I know that I have a purpose. I know that whatever the no's are, I focus on those, because our feelings are temporary and they can change. And I think it's important to know, like, I have control over my feelings are temporary. They can change. And then, I'm trying to think of what else I was dropping knowledge about. I can't remember.
That's okay. That was a good, key right there.
Thanks.
But I appreciate you sharing that. And, overall, Vanessa, I'm really inspired by you because of everything that you're doing. Like, you're so young, but you've accomplished so much. Like, how old are you?
I just turned 25. Yeah.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. And the quality of your work is so good. Like, just watching the trailer for Gridshock, it's so good. Like, I'll post about it and I'll put links in the replay of this later on. But I really am inspired by your work. And I was telling my sister, I'm like, yeah, I'm interviewing this. She's a female filmmaker and she's done these documentaries. She's been on TED Talk. She's like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. I'm like, yeah, it is. Really amazing. You know? So keep up the good work, and you're so inspiring. I can't wait for your next documentary to come out in April. If people want to stay in touch with you and follow along in your journey, what's the best way for them to do that?
Instagram, Facebook. My website is vanessamcneil.com. Those are the main ones.
Okay.
To learn more about Gridshock, I would say follow my Instagram, because I post about that a lot on there. But also we have a website, it's gridshockdocumentary.com. And the film will be available to purchase like a streaming license in April. So I'll be posting the links to that. So you don't have to be in Iowa for the premiere to watch it. If you're not in Iowa, which most of the world isn't, then you watch that way. Yeah.
Very cool. Vanessa, closing question I like to ask all my guests is, what's one piece of advice you give to other millennials who want to make an impact in their community?
I think that it's important that people not compare themselves to other people and feel less worthy, like, oh, I don't have anything important to share. Or I can't talk about anxiety because like 5,000 people are talking about it. Like, each of us was given a super divine, specific purpose, and we're all equipped to do everything. And I also feel like it's important to share that people try to rush processes and they just like don't want to do the work, or they don't think that they'll ever get there. So I think people have to know that, I say this to myself all the time, what is for me will always be for me. And if it wasn't, then it wouldn't, and then it's not for me. I think J. Cole just posted about that today, but I've been telling myself that forever. Like, if it's for me, it'll always be for me. So I don't have to rush it. I don't have to have anxiety about it because it's already planned for my life.
Right. So, That's powerful. What is for me will always be for me. Yeah. Oh man, I'm going to take that. I'm going to use that for sure.
Yes.
Well, Vanessa, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me and just tell us your story and what you're up to. Again, I'm so inspired by you. I believe that 2019 is going to be your best year. I'm going to be watching closely and liking everything, sharing everything, and just bless you. And thank you for all you do for the community. So appreciate
you. Thank you. Same to you.